Hey, this is Collarworks Radio, and I'm your host, Justin Baker. With me this week is Patrick Tyne, a new contributor to the TU, art critic, reviewer, extraordinaire. Patrick, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. So first off, I just want to say thank you for the very kind review you did of the 41st Photo Regional, which is at Collarworks right now.
Well, it was just tremendous work.
All right. That is very kind, and I wanted to maybe get a little bit more of your thoughts of the show and also things that you didn't get to in your review. Of course, if people want to check out the review, they can go online. What else did you think, or what else was out there?
Well, you know, there were, I think it was 15 artists. I had 850 words, so you kind of do the math. You can't get to everybody, so that's why I said in the very beginning of the review, everything here is good, and any preconceived notion you might have about a show that is curated through an open entry process that you think you might be getting something that is substandard or it's amateur, throw that out of your mind, because that's absolutely not what's going on at Collarworks. I was taken by a lot of different things that I saw that I didn't get a chance to see, including some stuff that wasn't actually part of the photo regional, but was at the gallery and was also opening that night, such as there was the NSFW exhibit in the lab,
right,
where it was just the more avant-garde, young, weirder stuff. It wasn't necessarily photography. There was Havana Louis, with a piece that involved a photograph of her midriff and then a very oddly, very kind of disconcertingly posed glob of pizza dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Carolyn Smith's Green Girl, which was a stop motion animated claymation film that featured a lovingly rendered clay sex shop. And I think that show really has a chance. It should really be on HBO as an adapted series. So I just wanted to get that out there because I didn't get to that at all in the review.
Sure.
And I just, there wasn't room to do it justice and do justice to the artist.
Yeah. And just for people listening, the lab is a extra space we have at the far end of the gallery that sometimes we use for the show, like the bigger show in the main gallery, but we also have that open for younger curators to come in and propose a project and put it on. So I think, you know, for us, we loved what they did back there.
It's really good. I mean, it's you know, if you're there, you got to see it. As far as stuff I didn't get to, I just want to mention some of the stuff that I really like, just to highlight again. Maybe the best piece in the whole exhibit. I know that there were, there was a jury that voted on it, and he didn't get one of them. But Kobe Berger had a great photograph called Albany Super Storage,
mm-hmm.
which is, I know a little bit of his work. We were briefly classmates, but it's just, you know, this kind of anonymous place you've driven by a million times in Albany and have never thought twice about. And he just saw something else and posed a few objects in the frame and just created this, not disconcerting, but moving and weird and thought-provoking image. There were boxing gloves and there was a string of pearls, and it just was... It was so. I don't know Kobe that well, but it reflected something in his sensibility, and it reflected a level of craftsmanship and a sense of humor and a deadpan style that I just really liked. And I know he's going for an MFA now. And if you can prognosticate as an art critic who's only written two reviews, I would say that's a person to watch over the months and years.
Sure.
I was also taken, you know, some of the people went in many directions with what photography and image making can be. You did your vaporous day glow geometries. Hannah Alsdorf went in a different direction. She worked in cyanotype. She was one of the artists I was really unhappy I wasn't able to work into the actual review, partially because I didn't want to inadvertently insult the technique that she used, what she decided to make a cyanotype of.
Right.
You know, a cyanotype is one of the earliest photographic processes. It's you basically make an imprint of an object on photosensitive paper, and it's ringed in cyan blue. And it's really, working in that medium means you're harking back to almost the prehistory of photography. And she must have had that in her mind when she created what could be called kind of primitive or almost childlike images that really worked. You know, there was a flower, there was the outline of a bird, and I don't want to say primitive and childlike as if, you know, that also means unsophisticated, because it isn't. And I was really taken by it, but I didn't know how to work that in and have people get the wrong impression. So I can do it better by explaining it, you know, verbally. But that piece was called Bleu Fleur One.
Right.
And, you know, definitely a good piece.
I like that that photo a lot. You know, one thing was I had felt like I wish there was more of them to get a range or just kind of a better idea. You know, Colorworks was our first time hosting the show, and we wanted to approach it in a way that was somehow different or somehow, you know, like a little more what we do in terms of the gallery and our programming. So we were excited to take it on. We asked some jurors from New York, the gallery, I forget the name of the gallery, Front Room Gallery.
Yeah.
Ken Ragsdale, one of our board members, had a connection, so we went with that. And I was hoping, like, maybe it seemed like a little bit like the space wasn't as considered in how big it was, and the piece you're talking about is kind of small and almost seemed a little dwarfed in the space.
It was a little lost in the space, and, you know, looking back on it, maybe that was like a valid criticism I could have put in the piece. But when you're looking at a selection of 15 different artists, it's impossible to have a thematic unification when everyone is just submitting what they think their best piece is.
Right, right.
And a cyanotype like that, and work that is so delicate like that, it's hard to stand out there. And I think it's brave that she chose that piece rather than maybe something that might pop more, because you know, that means she has a real faith in her craftsmanship, which I think is wonderful. You mentioned that it was curated by two people from New York City.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really want to devote the column inches to meditating or speculating on the fact that, like, do we need to call New York City? Is it like, do you need to, you know, call up to the big leagues to get serious, you know, people? Because they're just as good. There would have been just as good people that are local that could have curated the show.
Right.
I was wondering, I mean, what was the, you know, there was a thought process there.
We had a bunch of ideas. You know, I had ideas to go more kind of regional with the curator. I had some ideas for someone out in Western, like Ithaca, former professor of mine, Nick Molnar. I was curious to ask him.
I mean, I thought our friend Bill Yeager would have been a great curator.
Bill Yeager could have probably done a great job. And, you know, would have been a much different show. I mean, it was interesting.
I mean, it's not that it was bad you know, I'm trying to, you know, that we have some kind of little brother syndrome to New York City, but it's
It
was an interesting choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, the show is so rooted in the history of this region.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 41st iteration of it. So, you know, as a region, like, we believe and we support this show, that it should be here. We keep doing it. You know, these institutions keep taking it on. So there's that. And, you know, I don't know if we have to, you know, pay homage to it every year by, you know, protecting it or whatever. It's curious, you know, it's good to get outside looks at what's going on here.
And you know, the artists probably appreciate it too, because it's, you know, everybody wants to go to New York City.
Nobody
wants to stay here forever necessarily. Most people at least.
Right.
So you really are helping the artists that way. It's not
right.
You know, there's no clash, there's no ego or anything. So if really from the artist's perspective, it's probably really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and I guess in our defense, or, you know, one angle we'd have as a you know, an institution, Colorworks, is that, you know, we can say, like, you know, show your work, you know, or send your work to us, and at the very least, these, you know, a gallery from New York will look at it and give it.
That's very.
Know,
it's very.
Give
appealing.
It whatever.
And the idea that, you know, it's just like Colorworks is the perfect balance between other galleries in the area that have maybe a slightly higher threshold for entry, or, you know, require you to pay something. I know that there's one like that. I think Colorworks really does it
I think it was a small fee.
The best small fee, but anyway.
If I can remember.
But it's good work done right.
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick. That's all we got. Love to have you on again. Pleasure having you here. And as always, go to ColorWorks. You can check out the 41st Photo Regional in person. And also, there's Everyday Perfection at the Albany International Airport, which looks like a great show. I haven't made it yet.
And people forget that there's a gallery there, and it's always worth your
time. Right, right. How many airports have a great gallery?
Of course.
All right. Thank you again, Patrick.
Thank you.